You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Speak to us now, Lord, for we are here and we are listening. Amen. The text for this sermon this morning is Colossians 1:15, which says the following: Jesus is the image of the invisible God. I'd be grateful if you'd all allow me a moment of candor this morning. There are times when it can be difficult to explain or to understand Christian doctrine. More specifically, it can be difficult at times to understand how doctrine like Jesus being the invisible God, how that can have anything to do with our real lives. What am I talking about, and why is that the case? That's a little bit easier to explain. Religious doctrine can often be explained away in the abstract. We often talk about certain Christian doctrines, like the doctrine of the Trinity, for instance, or the doctrine of original sin, or the inerrancy of Scripture, and we, teachers and expositors of the Bible, I'm including myself fully within this, we can explain away these teachings as if they exist somewhere ethereal, or on some distant planet, some different land, where they exist in a separate world. And if they're in their own separate world, and they don't have anything to do to enter into the world that you inhabit. So for instance, when you're walking down the grocery store at the aisle at the Piggly Wiggly, and you're wondering, what in the world does the hypostatic union, that's a $10 term, have to do with the Campbell's soup that's on sale for one more day, and you're having a hard time making the connection between those two things, I can see where you're coming from. How do we make sense of the abstract? How do we make sense of what we cannot see? In the early 1920s, in the interwar period, writer Ernest Hemingway and his young wife lived within an expat community in Paris. And as lovely as Paris is in the spring and in the summer, it can be equally cold and wet and gray in the fall and in the winter. And so each year, he and his wife would retreat the rainy autumn in Paris to go to the mountains, and they would return upon the beginning of winter. In retelling his experience in the posthumously published volume, A Movable Feast, which came out in 1964, Hemingway describes his experience cutting his teeth as a young writer, now back in the city, back in Paris for winter. Hemingway writes this. He says, "When we came back to Paris, it was clear and cold and lovely. The city had accommodated itself for winter. There was good wood for sale at the wood and coal place across our street. There were heaters outside many of the good cafes that could keep you warm on the terraces. And our own apartment was warm and cheerful. Sometimes when I was starting a new story and I could not get it going, I would sit in front of the fire and I would squeeze the peel of little oranges into the edge of the flame and watch the blue sputter of blue they made. And I would stand and look out over the roofs of Paris and think, do not worry. You have always written before, and you will write now. All you have to do is write one true sentence. Write the truest sentence that you know. So finally, I would write one true sentence and go on from there." What is the truest sentence that you know? You, the person in the pew this morning, what's the truest sentence that you know? Allow me to press in a little bit. Unless I'm mistaken, I don't think that our lives exist in the abstract. We have very real souls tethered to real bodies with real experiences, and not all those experiences that we have are positive. I mean, how about the sore spots in your life? Are the sore spots in your life abstract? Do you ever see those public awareness commercials that refer to American servicemen with PTSD? They'll say something to the effect of, sometimes there are wounds you cannot see. I mean, isn't that the truth? Do you have wounds that you cannot see? Do you have wounds that I cannot see, even right now? Have you lost a family member years ago that you long to see? And on their birthday or on Christmas or when Alabama wins a big football game, you just want to pick up the phone and call them. And you think to do it, and then you can't. I mean, that is a wound that you know. It's a wound that you cannot see. Is there something that you're hiding from everyone? I mean, good grief, who hasn't done that? Did something happen to you once that you haven't told anybody about? Now, here's a theological statement that has some real grip to it. To live in a world that is marred by sin, that does not mean that, quote, sin just implies to the willful breaking of a moral code. To live, quote, under sin, as Paul says elsewhere, is to know that being human means to say that sometimes the truest sentence that we know is that it is often the most unseen parts of our lives that make our lives hard. They're often the most difficult. They're often the most sore. Your parents divorced when you're young. That's something that still sticks with you. Is that an unseen part of your life? Your coach one time was a real jerk to you. Don't know anything about that. You have an addiction that has dug its teeth in. Now, it's been my experience that just acknowledging that sort of thing can be an absolution in and of itself. So in light of that, what do I have to say to you this morning that has any kind of grip to it? Here is a true sentence. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, there is no scientific study that's been made that can prove that that's true. A great trouble is that we can't take a weekend trip to the heavenly realms and report back and tell one another, no, I've seen him. He is the image of the invisible God. Frankly, it's a great misfortune that we can't. But how do we know that it's true? Now, here's one thing I could tell you. Did you know that Jesus coming to earth 2,000 years ago and being born of a virgin and having a ministry in and around Galilee and Jerusalem and then being crucified and rising from the dead, that was a real historical event. That was a real historical event in the pages of history. The documentation exists as such that we are forced to face the fact that this actually happened. It actually happened. But what if I took it one step further? What if I were to say to you that in the formulation of the code of your being is a part of yourself that desires above all else to know God? You desire to know God. You desire to know his son. There's a part of our gut level that can say, particularly in certain moments, we can say, yes, that is absolutely true. That is 100% true. And sometimes, cruelly, I might add, we know this is true because at times there's the absence that we have of not knowing him or perhaps him feeling distant. I mean, do you remember the cinematic opener of Forrest Gump? Where the shot follows just a feather floating in the wind, being blown to and fro and not affixed to anything, and it's the whims of the air that blow it. Does your life ever feel that way? Has your life ever felt that way? Do parts of your life feel blown about, out of your control, not knowing what's next, to feel the absence of the grounding and the sense of home that knowing God offers? Now, if you haven't, don't worry about what I'm going to say next. But to everyone else, perhaps what follows will be helpful. In relation to our being as creatures, Jesus being the image of the invisible God is one of the truest things that we can know. And I'll take it one step further. This is good news. This is good news because with Jesus, with the fullness of God, was pleased to dwell. He reconciles all things to himself, whether in heaven and on earth, and he has made and is making peace with the volatile and stagnant and stuck and missing and tragic and broken and misused and misordered parts of our lives, even those for which we are the cause, even death itself, by the blood of his cross. Now, how can he do that? And how can he do that for you? He can do that because he is the image of the invisible God. He is God himself who has come to this earth. And that means that the incarnate God has been in your skin. It means that he has walked in your shoes. It means that he is the God who sees. And instead of our lives being a one-way ticket into chaos without hope, instead of being eternally separated from him, instead of him saying, hey, I know things are a little bit out of control right now. Hey, I know that one day you're going to die. Jesus, the image of the invisible God, says, I have done something about it. I've done something about that. And right now, all things are being reconciled to me and under me and because of me. Now, I cannot speak for you, but I'll go so far as to take a guess. There are times in all of our lives when we say, when we look around and we say, what in the world is going on here? What in the world is going on here? Why did this thing happen? What's the next step? Because I'm not seeing it. And you might be saying, well, Will Fagan is up there right now. He's in this pulpit, and he is telling me that God is real and that Christ is real, and they're doing something about my life, but I'm not seeing it. So how do I know this is true? How do I know that everything that I've been saying is true? What is the truest sentence that I know? The truest sentence that I know in everything in relation to what I've just said is that God is real. God is real, and we know that because you are real. And your life is real because God has made it. And it's not perfect. How could it be? We look around, we want our lives to make sense. We want our lives to be reconciled. And we want them to be reconciled to our Lord. We want to be reconciled to our Lord. Because of the blood of the cross, right now, we collectively and your individual life is being reconciled. Not by you under your own power, but by Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, because his blood covers everything. And everything in your life, and he is the one who is before all things, and he is in all things, and through him, all things are being held together, including you. Father, continue to reconcile us. We need it. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.